Welcome to the Photo Booth International Podcast, live from Dallas, Texas. Find us online at photobooth.international.com.
Welcome back to the Photo Booth International Podcast. Jasmine Pather here. I have a very special guest today. Not only is she a very dear friend of mine for over probably 15 years, she's also an expert in HR with over 12 years of experience. And she also has her bachelor's degree in organizational behavior and HR management. Welcome, Yannette.
Hi. Thank you so much for being here. It's an honor to be on your podcast today.
Wonderful.
I want to share some good tips to everyone about HR.
I'm excited, and I think I didn't say your last name. So this is Yannette Gonzalez, one of our really, really great friends, and like I said, HR expert. So I'm super excited that she's on here to share some of her HR information and knowledge, because as business owners, I think that that's one of the pieces that sometimes we never get to learn, or we don't know if we're doing the right thing. So be sure to take some notes. I think you guys will find her information very valuable.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that great introduction, Jasmine. Hi, everyone. Again, my name is Yannette Gonzalez. I am a HR, I wouldn't say expert, but I try to be as knowledgeable as I can. I've been in the field for over 12 years and built my career in HR because I genuinely love people. And I believe that our human capital is really the asset and the foundation of running a successful business. And what I'm going to go over today is go over how to build your HR department from the ground up. And even if you already have an HR department, hopefully I can share some tips and some advice that will help you improve some of your deficiencies and help you gain some really great knowledge in employees and how to handle a lot of great things. So with that being said, let's talk about HR for a moment. So there's a long history of HR, right? So one of our first employment laws was created back in 1938, which was one of the Fair Labor Standards Act. And this was a law that is pretty much what started the whole foundation of having what used to be called then personnel versus HR, human capital now, right? So over time, you've seen that a lot of things have changed in the workforce, whether it's technology or anything like that. But from my experience helping other businesses with their HR, I find that the deficiencies come from not having proper documentation in place for a lot of things. I also find, such as even the employment application. It's important to have great employment applications so that you know how to determine whether candidates are good for your organization or not. So we're going to go over HR staffing plans, an overview of the recruiting process, employee and labor relations, which is really, really important, and how to also handle unemployment claims when they come in so that you don't are not blindsided. So let's start talking about the whole hiring process. Now, when you start as off as a business, of course, it's only of you. You're the one that's running the show, right? Mm-hmm. And the excitement part comes from when your company starts growing. You're so busy working on the side of producing a product that sometimes the human capital side takes a back seat, right? And this is where a lot of mistakes and non-compliance can happen that can really hurt you in the long run and even get you into some big lawsuits, right? Mm-hmm. So your HR department or your HR person is the first, what I say, your first legal consultant before you get to that phase. So what we want to make sure is that when you start growing your business and you start wanting to hire people, that you have a good application, right? To make sure you have the employee data and demographics that you need. Also, it's critical for you to build job descriptions for the positions that you are going to be hiring for. Why? Because it's important for an employee to come in, and this doesn't matter where your organization is big or small, but your employees need to come in and be able to see what is it that they're going to be doing in this job. a list of the essential duties, the responsibilities, mm-hmm. what experience do you need to have this job? Because if they don't, they just come in blindsided, and they're all they're going to do is keep asking you questions over and over, over and over. And you don't have time for that. You're building a business, and you're building this growth and capital. So you don't have time for that. You want to make sure that your employees, again, have everything that they need the first day that they come in. So building a job description is important. I'm going to be referencing a lot to the SHRM.com website. It's SHRM.com. This is a huge website that I am a member of, and that really is super helpful for any small business or any growing business that where you can have some endless amount of resources and helpful tips to help you maintain compliance. Okay. So I'm sorry.
That's awesome. I love that. And you're very right about the job description, because when we first started the rental business back in the day, mm-hmm. we didn't have any of this. And so over time, we've learned from our mistakes, because like Yannette said, you don't pay attention to them immediately, but then something happens and you learn from it. So mm-hmm. if you're starting off, I really think that these tips that she's sharing are going to help you save a lot of trouble and a lot of time and possibly a lot of money. So yeah. So sure. SHRM.com.
Yes. I'm not by any way endorsing it, but I do recommend it, because it's national. I mean, there's a lot of HR professionals that are members there, but it's a great resource tool for anyone to have and go in there and research things. Perfect. Now back to our hiring process. So as you're growing your business and you're going to hire people, you want to make sure that you have a mission and your vision already set forth. Why? Because these two things are important. If you don't have those two things done, there's no way that the human capital part can come in, because you don't even know what your culture is going to be like. What's your mission? What's your vision? This is going to help you determine the type of employees that you need and the type of questions that you will be asking them in order to hire them. Right? So right off the bat, if you don't have your mission and vision, which I'm sure all of you already do, but if you don't, I recommend you work on that immediately. And then from there, you can start thinking about how your tribe is going to be built for your business, mm-hmm. because it's all you, right? So that's a huge tip. Now, once you're building your job descriptions and you put them out there on your Indeed.com, Monster.com, wherever you're going to post your positions, you want to make sure that you have interview questions ready for your people when they're coming in. And don't just Google interview questions and ask those questions. I see this a lot, and it's one of my pet peeves, right? Because this is how you end up with candidates that are not good for your organization or your business. Mm-hmm. And this is a waste of your capital when you can be spending it on something else, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure that when you're asking, when you start an interview process, that you're asking questions that are behavioral questions, such as, tell me about a time you had to deal with a difficult client. How did you handle it? What did you do? Versus tell me about your strengths and weaknesses. I think that question is sold. When you ask specific questions to what the position that's related to you, you get to know more of the employee. You get to mm-hmm. know an experience of them before you even watch them give you a work sample, to say the least. You get to see what they did to solve that problem. And a lot of people interview very well, and once they get hired, we've all experienced this, right? Yes. That once they're working with you guys, you're like, what the heck did I do? Did I hire an employee? And it was just a waste of financial resources, right? So I think asking behavioral questions, mm-hmm. situational questions, and other questions that will help you determine which ones are the best candidates. Also, once you are selecting a candidate, you should have some type of meeting or orientation with them after they're hired. You need to make sure that you issue a conditional offer if you're going to consider them for employment, because it's not a final offer, but this is basically extending them extending the offer of employment after you've made your selection. Make sure you put the title of the job that they'll be doing. What amount of payment are they going to be? Are they going to be hourly or salary? All those things that need to be there. If they accept the position, then you would issue a final offer letter, again, with the title, the pay, and other data information. And again, a reference back to Asharm.com, because they have excellent templates that'll help you with those things, and making sure that you're up to date on your compliance, even if you have two employees. Mm-hmm. Now, the biggest thing I could say this is that a lot of the employment laws that are out there don't apply to, they apply to most businesses, but when you're first starting, when there's 2, 3, 4 employees, some of those laws don't apply. The bigger employment laws apply to employers once they grow to up to 15 employees. Okay, so as you're growing again back in your business, eventually you're going to have to hire an HR professional to help you, because you're not going to be able to do all of this. And it's better to hire someone that's an expert in the field versus you trying to learn a whole new skill when you're worried about how to grow your business. All right. So
that's something we talk about a lot, right? With even with our customers that buy photo booths, we tell them, you know, invest your time into the skills that you know will actually grow your business and benefit your business, right? There's experts that you can hire things out to do the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And that way you're not spending a whole day trying to learn Photoshop just to create one template when you can pay $10 for someone to do it for you.
Absolutely.
So I think that made me think of that. So as you heard, Yannette, make sure that you're contacting the experts in these types of situations so that they exactly. don't cost even more time or money in the long run.
And a free resource to everyone is like your workforce commissions. They have a lot of resource. That's also another resource to help you. They have a lot of different cases or a lot of information that can help you and determine to make really good decisions. So always use your resources. Don't ever just assume, because sometimes that can get you in hot water. And I know you don't want to be on the hot seat. You want to make sure you spend your time gaining capital for your business. So having an HR professional really on site, or maybe even as a contractor, is more efficient, because they'll be able to address issues like hiring, firing, leave management, training, discipline, policy development, enforcement and benefits, and all these things. You're probably saying, as a small business owner, I don't have all these things. Trust me, you will, because you're in business and you're growing, and I would hope you get to the biggest level you can. So you're going to have these things later on. Maybe not right now, but later on you will.
Yeah. And a little background on Yannette. She has actually been a part of our business for as long as we have been in business. Yannette actually started off helping us when we would go out and work these quinceañera expos back in the day. I mean, this is like almost 8 years ago.
Free cake after, guys.
Yeah, lots of free cake, and you get to taste test all the other food they have there. But she's been a very important supporter in our journey as entrepreneurs in our businesses. And it went from her helping us with the photo booth events to later transitioning into HR consulting. So she actually helped us with a lot of the same things that she's covering in this video. And I keep nodding my head, and that's because every time she says something, I can relate it to a mistake that we did before we, hired her on to help us with the consulting. So I can't tell you just how valuable this information is. I'm so excited that you guys can, get to hear some more.
Great. Awesome. Let's talk about HR budgets. So when you're hiring employees, you want to make sure that you pay them according to how the job markets are around your area. And this, you can get this information for free as well from your workforce commissions in your local areas. You don't want to put yourself where you're underpaying your employees or overpaying them. You want to make sure you're at the middle, right? So what the workforce commissions does is that they'll show you what type of businesses that are related to you in the area, how much they're paying, so that you can be able to offer a competitive rate, right? Because a lot of employees leave to get, it's not because the job is so much better on the other side, but it's because financially it's better for them, right? So having a pay structure for your company is very. So in HR budgets, starting off as an entrepreneur, you're not going to have that much money, right? But you want to make sure that you're paying competitive market rates to your employees, right? Because they're going to be the ones that are going to build your business. You don't want to underpay them, overpay them. As I stated before, you can contact your local workforce commissions and they can provide you demographic data of what type of businesses that are almost in the same category as yours and what they're paying their employees. That way you have almost about a ballpark amount. After all, employees do leave a lot of employers because they're not getting paid enough. We always hear that. So you want to make sure that you're paying competitive market rates to your employees so that they don't leave you so soon. And also to make sure that they have enough money to live, right? The cost of living is high now everywhere in every state at this point. Inflation still occurs. So you want to make sure you keep up with those market trends to be able to financially pay your employees well.
Mm-hmm. Such a great point.
Yes. I'm moving on to payroll system and administration. What is the number one reason why employees are terminated in any job? Attendance, right? People don't come to work sometimes. And if they do, they may leave early or whatever it may be. But attendance is such a high turnover rate in any organization. You want to make sure that you have a payroll system and timekeeping system for your employees so you know when they're clocking in, when they're clocking out. And again, over time, you'll have to invest in some of these things. That way, they're paid appropriately and there's not $50 missing out of one check and when they made over that amount, right? Mm-hmm. So there's many companies out there that are very helpful. Like I know Gusto is one of them, right?
That's what we use,
they run payroll and it's super easy. When I used to work for Jasmine and Josh, I mean, when I would get paid.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned Gusto because that's actually the same service that we use. And it's been very helpful because they keep track of all of the behind the scenes things. They hire new hire paperwork. Whenever we hire someone on, it just makes it really easy.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So get Gusto, guys. That'll be very helpful for you. It'll take a lot of work away from you. And you don't have to train a payroll specialist to do this yet. Unless your business is real big and you can hire those people, then that's great. But if you are starting off in your small business, you need to be able to be resourceful. And at Gusto, I would say, is a good resource for you guys. Next, let's talk about benefit plans. This may not, again, some of the things that I'm talking about may not apply to your business right now, but it will later. Again, I think me and Jazz, that's what we're doing these masterminds or podcasts is to hopefully help you. And later on, when you are highly successful, you'll think about the PBI podcast that helped you with these wonderful tips. So exactly. As you're growing, the organization needs to determine what type of benefits are you going to offer to your employees? Are you going to offer paid time off, sick time, vacation, 401ks, when someone gets injured, workers' compensation, all those things. It's a lot to take in. So as you're growing, you want to make sure you're also, you know, teaching yourself about these things. You don't have to be the expert, but you have to at least know what these items are so that you are able to explain them to the employees as they come in your organization. Let's see. Now, the next item I'm going to talk about is by far the most important part of this whole podcast episode for me. I cannot stress enough how important it is to have an employment policy manual, right? Because this is your official Bible of how your company is going to be handling employees, as such as your workplace culture, your benefits, your policies, attendance policies, non-discriminatory policies that need to be in there. There's so much information that needs to be on a policy manual. I've seen in many places where there's not even a policy manual there. So how are employees supposed to know how to conduct themselves when there's no rules and policies in place, right? So I'm going to reference this back to the SHRM website. They have an excellent tool that'll help you build your own policy manual. They have a template where you can download it and you can add, you can critique it to whatever works for you and your organization. But I stress this very much because it's going to direct me to the next point I'm talking about. Employment manuals are important because not only they give the outline on how you can conduct yourself as an employee, but this is your mechanism to protect you when an employee is terminated, right? Which leads me on to the next thing. For example, let's say I was an employee of PBI and I started not coming to work and no one ever told me anything. They never said, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And then out of nowhere, I'm terminated. So what happens? I'm going to go file for an unemployment claim. Your workforce commission is going to contact you with my unemployment claim and they expect a response 14 business days once you get that claim. And you're going to have to submit supporting documentation, right? And let's go back to the example. I wasn't told anything before. I was just fired, right? It's important for you to document every single time you have a meeting or you set a process together for an employee because documentation is what helps you win cases. Documentation, guys. Documentation. Yep. That is super critical in any case. You can't go off of what she said, he said. It doesn't solve anything. Documentation is what helps you win cases in litigation or anywhere you go. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to have templates. For example, if I was an attendance policy, mm-hmm. Hey, Annette, you wouldn't come to work these days. You're violating this policy. You're getting a written warning. The next time you're going to get a final written warning. And then the next time is a discharge, right? So you want to make sure you have really good policies, whether you're having a corrective process, a disciplinary process. You need to outline all those steps and be able to have that in place. Because otherwise, you're not going to be your information. You're not going to have enough information to support discharges. So what is that going to do? The commission is going to probably say that the employee will be receiving benefits because you didn't provide the documentation that shows that they violated a company policy. Okay, yeah. So I hope that's really something that if anything else you don't remember, always remember the documentation part.
Yes, I would 100% agree with you because we have had, obviously we've been in business for 8 years now. So we have had claims come in and there was a time in the very beginning where we lost some claims because we didn't have proper documentation. And we definitely learned from our mistake. So I'm here to tell you she's 100% right. Please, please, please document everything, log everything. Keep a filing system that makes it easy for you to refer to documents because like she said, they don't give you a lot of time. And I know, every state's going to be different for the amount of time that they're going to give you to respond to the claim. So you just want to make sure that you're organized and prepared for whenever that does happen.
Right. And then sometimes what happens is that the commission may say, oh, the employee doesn't qualify for benefits and the employee might appeal the decision. Mm-hmm. So when you have in Texas, I'm only saying in Texas, I'm not sure what other states do, but in Texas, you'll have an opportunity to have an unemployment hearing to appeal it because you can appeal it up until the last level to win your claim. I'm not saying you're always going to win, but you have those options. Mm-hmm. And again, having that proper documentation can help you go a long way and help you win these cases and limit your liabilities as well. So make sure you keep documentation on everything. Even when the employee does a great job, always if you have a conversation with the employee, just always, always follow up with an email and say, hi, Jasmine, it was great to meet with you today about whatever issue I had, just to follow up on what we discussed. This is what we discussed, and this is what you're going to do, and keep it at that because that establishes that paper trail that you're going to need to be able to help you, right?
Definitely.
All right. So enough of that. Let's move on to performance evaluations for your employees. This is another thing I know me and Jasmine talked about a while back, right? So how are you going to evaluate your employees, mm-hmm. right? You cannot evaluate them just based on, oh, they're a good employee. Yeah. Okay, they're a good employee. Yeah, they're a good employee, but tell me why they're a good employee. Mm-hmm. What objectives did you set forth for them to complete throughout the year? Or I'm not sure how many times would you evaluate? Some people evaluate every 3 months, every 6 months, or every year. Mm-hmm. My experience, I get evaluated one mid-year and at the end of the year, and I think that's a great thing to do. Why? Because if you evaluate someone at like 6 months and you tell them, hey, this is where what you're doing really well, but this is where you're not being deficient. You already gave the employee the opportunity to know what they're deficient in, what their goal is, and you give them enough time to work on that goal to improve. Now, if by the end of the year they don't improve, then that will determine whether they'll be able to get a raise or whatever other non-monetary benefits you have. But mm-hmm. establishing a good performance evaluation process is crucial if as you're growing also in your organization, because you'll be able to quantitative and qualitative determine the deficiencies of any employee and how to help them get better, right? Because ultimately you want them to perform really well simultaneously with you having limited feedback to tell them every time, hey, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. No, mm-hmm. they'll know what's expected of them. And if they don't meet those goals, then they probably won't get a raise or they won't get other benefits. So yeah. Performance evaluations are really important.
What I realized is it's all about data, right? Everything that you're mentioning is data driven. It's logging conversations, making sure there's a paper trail. And that's really what everything's about. Data, data, data. Even when it comes to bookkeeping, any other section or department in a business, you should always make decisions off of data. And so I think that's why the documentation is the key in this whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, you want to create standard operating procedures. This is also great for small businesses because you do not have time to train everyone all day. Again, because as an entrepreneur, you're working on how to grow your business, right? Mm-hmm. So standard operating procedures should always be in place to help new and future employees see what their job is. How do they perform the tasks that they are asked for in a fast way or an efficient way to help them get there? So outlining a process of, let's see, how to build a photo booth. Mm-hmm. Step one, this is what you do. Open the box, right? So having those processes in place is very helpful when you don't have trainers to train your new employees. They'll be mm-hmm. able to read and they'll be able to go step by step and see how they can complete the task. And if they can't, well, they might be able to ask you a question about it. But that'll also help you limit the time that you are training them. I mean, I'm not saying this is going to take the part of you not training. But mm-hmm. sometimes even me as a new employee, when I started in different businesses, I was like, oh, I can do this. Oh, yeah. They asked me, how are you doing? Yeah, it's going good. And then after a week, I'm like, how do you do this again? So it happens to all of us. I know it does. So you want to make sure that you have those SOPs for short so that they can reference back and make sure that they're doing the process the exact way that you want them to. And everything that I have been sharing so far, it takes time to build. It's tedious. Sometimes it's tiring. And I know as small business owners or business owners, you don't want to really focus on that. Yeah. So I'm sharing both aspects of a growing business and a small business, because once you're big and you're growing, you're able to hire those people to do this for you. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, that I'm giving you tips for those businesses as well that don't have the budgets to hire HR professionals to help you. Again, the SHRM.com website is super, super helpful. And you can always reference that for a lot of different
things. Yeah, these are tips to help lay down the ground for your business. And then eventually you can get to that point where you can say, I don't handle that. HR handles that. Contact HR.
Absolutely. At some point, I hope that you are able to do that.
Yeah.
So once, like, and I'm going to go back a little bit. Once you hire a new employee, you want to make sure that their onboarding process is streamed simultaneously and that is a good onboarding process. I've worked in employers before where they just hired you on and they just left you alone. There wasn't, you know, any type of structure or anything like that. So making sure that you are telling your employees at new hire orientation what is expected of them, what is expected of you and them for the long term relationship that you're gonna have. Making sure that the employee feels welcome to be there and that they feel excited to be there. You wanna make your employees feel so special because they are special. They're helping you build your business. And as a new business owner, sometimes it's hard to be able to manage different people because everyone learns different. This is something that is that I find also that has many issues. I see managers manage everyone the same. And it's hard to do that because, again, everyone doesn't learn the same. Everyone is managed different. So I would say for as a manager, you have the responsibility of learning your new employees and seeing how they are how they understand a process. Because you can tell me a process and you can tell it to Jasmine as well, and I'm gonna understand it one way, she's gonna understand it a different way. So it's important for you as managers to be able to ask your employees, hey, did you understand what I'm saying? Do you have any questions? Manage everyone according to what their learning style is. Some of us learn by touching, seeing other different things. So being able to have that skill is really great. And it also helps you build a great, strong rapport with your employees because they know you care and they know that you, that you're important to them and that they want to make sure that they treat you with respect and that they are able to communicate in the way you understand.
Mm-hmm. And there's other tools out there that do like personality assessments,
right.
And they're geared towards employees or a company. And you can kind of see what drives people and what their motivators or what their struggles are. And you can actually build a team based around, you know, those assessments, because you might need someone that's more assertive, you know, dealing with a certain area in your business, then you might need someone that's a bit more understanding in customer service. And then you base that also off of the leader, right? The owner or the CEO of the company,
right?
The people who fall under that, they should be compatible and help having those documents of knowing how each other work are very helpful in these types of scenarios that Yannette's talking about.
Right. And as you're growing and developing, a lot of these things, again, you can hire someone to do, but it's really good for you to learn them too, so that you don't have to feel lost or contact your HR person all day because you don't understand something.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that I want to stress enough is showing empathy to your employees. It's important for them to feel important regardless of who they are, what they are. You want to be able to show them that you care and that you value them. Some things that you can do as a small business that, of course, you're not able to give employees $1 million, right? But making sure that your employees feel valuable and that they feel appreciated goes a long way. You can go as far. I know Jasmine and Josh have this really cool thing where their employees, when they have birthdays, they get them a cake and everyone signs a card and something like that. Something like that seems so small to other people, but to the employee, it feels special. To me, it would be special if someone gave me a cake and a card for my birthday and they say happy birthday. I mean, that'll make me feel like the organization really cares about me. That's an important day to all of us, right? The day our birthdays is super personal. Mm-hmm. So showing that your employees, that you care about them and that you appreciate them, really makes them more loyal to you in the long run. And they'll be able to perform at higher levels than you tell them to, because you build that rapport, that relationship, that trust with them. And when you have those things, employees will do anything for you. And it's not always so much about the monetary things. It's about the culture that you're creating, that, hey, at PBI, and I'm using that PBI because it's the PBI podcast. Yeah. At PBI, we care about employees, you know, we care about their families. We care about everything, because everything that the employee goes through, whether it's inside organization or outside, affects their work product at the end. Right. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
100%. 110%.
So I hope that I've given you some tips or some guidance on how to handle the HR from beginning, even to where if you're already a big company or you're in the mid growth stage or at the beginning stage. These are all some really good tips that'll help you really stay in compliance and also help you build a long-term successful HR department or section, and have really good employees that work for you. I want to be able to, I hope I was able to help you at least build something right now after you get off this podcast. Go back and jot down maybe how you can improve your own processes. How can they better serve your employees and serve you? The goal of creating processes and having resources is to limit your time from handling all of that and having the processes take care of themselves, right? So I hope I've shared those tips with you. I want to thank Jasmine so much for letting me be on this podcast and being able to talk to you guys about HR. I generally love people. I've always been a people person since I was a kid. And I can talk a lot. I'll talk to the wall if it talks back to me. But I want you all to understand that the human capital part of any business is really the assets of your organization. And the way you treat your people is the way your business is going to go. So if you treat them great and with respect and make sure that they have what they need, I promise your employees will get you to the highest places that you can go with your company.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Yannette. Thank you for being on. And earlier you said you didn't consider yourself an expert. To me, you're an expert. I come to you with all my HR questions all the time. And you've been in the game for over 12 years. So to me, you are an expert. And I think that you shared tons of valuable information. I mean, guys, this is information that people pay money to HR consultants for. So I really hope that you take the time to go back and re-listen to this episode and make sure to take notes. And like she said, there's a lot of resources available for us entrepreneurs. It's just all a matter of, you know, taking some time. I know that we think, you know, HR is boring, HR is a pain in our butts, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, something that's a very integral part of the business. And if you neglect it, I can promise you, you're going to pay for it at some point or another. That's what's happened with us. And so I really encourage you to really take a look at this and dig deeper. So with that being said, thank you again, Yannette. And we'll talk to you on the next podcast, guys. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Bye.